Welcome to The Goodnight Show. I'm Shay Morrison, sleep expert and co-founder of The Goodnight Co. Join me each week for hints and tips on all things sleep. Welcome to today's episode on the connection between alcohol and sleep. If you are someone who has had a restless sleep or wakes up feeling pretty average after drinking alcohol, then this could be a great episode for you. Today I am connecting with Shannon Rosie, health coach, functional nutritionist, author of Conscious Cocktails and retreat manager at Life at Springfield. We break down in simple terms what happens to our body when we drink alcohol and how this impacts our sleep. Shannon has written a beautiful book, Conscious Cocktails, which provides us with some healthier alternatives when we are looking to cut back or maybe make some changes to our relationship with alcohol. We are not suggesting that you give up alcohol altogether. Rather, think about how much, when, and what type of alcohol you are drinking and the role it might be playing with your sleep. Shannon even shares a delicious recipe she made recently. So stay tuned. Hope you enjoy the episode. Shannon, it is so wonderful to have you join us today on the podcast. One of the questions that I love to ask first is, how did you sleep last night?
To be honest, it was a little bit of a hit and miss. I thought that it was going to take me a long time to fall asleep, just with some concerns about lockdown happening at the moment. But I did my sleep routine and slept like a baby the majority of the night, just woke up really, really early with my mind racing again. But considering the state that I thought it was going to be, it was pretty good.
Oh, that's what we like to hear. Now, for those people who haven't met you, I would love you to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, and then we can link it into today's topic, which is all about alcohol consumption and sleep.
Absolutely. So my name is Shannon Rosie. I am a clinical nutritionist, and I'm also a manager at Life at Springfield, where we run health and wellness retreats. So when I'm not retreating at Springfield, I see clients one-on-one and I do health coaching with them, and I specialize in gut health. And then, yes, also Conscious Cocktails, which is the book that I wrote. And I think that's what we're going to be getting into a little bit today.
Absolutely. And we are so lucky. I know Shannon personally, and we run our sleep retreats at the beautiful Springfield Farm, where Shannon is the manager there. And it is such a beautiful, beautiful place in the Southern Highlands of New South Wales, tucked away in Barrel. And if you are looking for a place to go, the retreat centre, which is also, it's called Springfield Farm. So it is an Airbnb and also where retreats are run. I can highly recommend the locally grown, is that what they're called, Shannon?
The homegrown,
yeah. Which are beautiful. So if you're looking for a bit of an escape to somewhere beautiful, then I would definitely suggest checking out Springfield Farm. But what we're here to talk about today is something that is such a big topic on people's minds, and it's the role that alcohol plays with sleep. So a lot of people don't even necessarily know the impact that alcohol can have on their sleep. And we are not here today to tell you that we think that you should give up drinking altogether. The beautiful thing about what Shannon has done with her Conscious Cocktail book, which is a beautiful book, is to really highlight how you can incorporate alcohol and still maintain really great wellness, including sleep. So I guess to kick it off, Shannon, maybe you can just give an understanding for people about what actually happens to our bodies when we're drinking alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. So what happens, I mean, put really, really simply, is we drink the alcohol and it goes down into our stomach. And in our stomach is where about 20% of the alcohol will be absorbed. Now, this number will be much higher if we are drinking on an empty stomach. So something that I'll always go back to is the importance of having anything. Obviously, there'll be better foods that you could have and better worse foods to have. But as a mark, you just want to make sure that you're having absolutely anything in your belly. Then what will happen is the alcohol will go from your stomach into your small intestines, and then from your small intestines into your liver. And our livers are amazing, and they process toxins all day. They're like an absolutely fabulous built-in detoxification system. And at the end of the day, alcohol is a toxin. So the alcohol goes into your liver, and your liver can effectively process about one standard drink every single hour. So if we drink any more than that one standard drink, what will happen is the liver will send alcohol throughout your body. So for example, it will be sent to your lungs and we will breathe it out. And that's why people's breaths can smell like alcohol. Or it will be sent to your brain. And that's kind of when you get the cognitive impairment that can come with drinking too much. And that's what we don't want. We don't want that buildup to get more than that one drink per hour that your liver can't handle, because we don't want to put our liver under any more strain than it is under just day-to-day processing any toxins from the environment or any toxins from our diet.
I guess quickly in that point then, if you were somebody that was maybe had a high toxin overload and your liver was already really working overtime to process and you added alcohol on top of it, then it might exacerbate those feelings of maybe feeling more drunk or, you know, what's actually going on in your body.
Yeah, absolutely. And think about it almost like, I'm not sure if you've ever had a drink when you're feeling a little bit sick or you're feeling a little bit run down and it just hits you so much harder either in the moment or the next day.
Yeah.
A little bit more run down, feel a little bit more sick.
So the interesting point there that you made about the food. So, you know, I always remember when I was younger and my mum would always give the advice of making sure you'd eaten before you were going out and having a drink. But it is a really great point, because there are times where I know for myself where I could have one or two drinks and feel really intoxicated, whereas normally that wouldn't be the case. So it's really about getting in tune with your body and what's going on. So if you are in a really highly stressed state, you know, you've got some high inflammation markers where you might be feeling unwell, or you haven't eaten well that day, then there may be times where you really need to also consider how much you're drinking.
Yeah, definitely. And also it's good to know what to eat as well. Great. So one of the biggest things with alcohol and the effect that it has on the body is it's a sugar too. So it raises insulin levels, and we really don't want that. So we want to make sure that we are having things that help to balance out our blood sugar levels. So making sure that we've got those healthy fats and those quality proteins, and they're the foods that will really be great to have before eating. The whole carbs help to soak up the alcohol thing isn't really true. So it's kind of, making sure that we are having those foods beforehand. And then another thing that can make us get a little bit too tipsy too quickly is things like carbonated beverages, because the bubbles actually put pressure inside your body and make your body absorb the alcohol quicker, which I have definitely experienced before when I've had one too many champagnes. And it's like, you know, I only had a couple of drinks. How did I feel that intoxicated when I usually wouldn't?
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point. And so when you're talking about healthy fats and proteins for people out there, they're thinking, what are the foods that I should eat? What would you recommend? Like what's a great staple for people to think about?
Well, it's kind of like all of these things are naturally built into our culture already for a reason. So one of the things that's most popular around the world to have before drinking is like a nibbles platter, like a sugary board or a cheese and meats platter, or, you know, a vegetarian option alternative if you don't eat meat. And it is that variety. What happens as well is when we drink alcohol, your body leaches certain vitamins, minerals, and nutrients. So having a different variety of things as well before drinking will help your body to kind of not have the detrimental effects. So I love a great platter with lots of nibblies. I get a really delicious cracker that has some good nuts and seeds in it. I'll get a great quality cheese, some dips, and kind of dig into that. Some fun ones that I love adding are pears, because there's an enzyme in pears that help your body to digest alcohol a little bit quicker.
Okay.
And then another little fun trick as well is licorice. And unfortunately, I'm not talking about like the delicious daryl licorice, that kind, but if you have like a natural one, or even licorice tea will be the same thing. Or I love making conscious cocktails with licorice tea as well, because what it does is it communicates to your body not to go to the bathroom as much, not as many times. And you know, there's the whole like breaking the seal a lot of times.
Yeah.
Drink, because alcohol is an anti-diuretic. So we want to be able to get in the way of that mechanism not happening. So then you get less dehydrated, and then the next day you'll be feeling a little bit better as well. So licorice helps your body to hold on longer.
The licorice that you're talking about, somewhere from a lovely health food shop, organic store, that type of thing, and add that onto your cheese board would be a great, just to have that little nibble, or as you said, in a tea version as well, mixed into a gin cocktail or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful. And if anybody is looking for recipe inspiration, Shannon's book has a lot of beautiful, tasty recipes. So we will link Conscious Cocktails, the book, and where you can get that in the show notes if you're looking for some inspiration. So Shannon, I guess one of the things as well is that a question that we get asked a lot is, well, we get asked this question a lot regardless of alcohol, but particularly in relation to alcohol, is that people find that they wake up between 2 and 3 a.m. or 2 and 4 a.m. when they've been drinking. So maybe if you can explain why this is happening and what the connection is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm happy to talk on that, and then also just the effects that it can have on sleep in general. I think they're kind of
great.
Three big things. The first one is that alcohol is a sedative. That is the class of drug that alcohol is. And there is a big difference between sedation and sleep. A lot of people think that they're the same thing, but they're really not. Sedation kind of cuts off all of the activity happening in your head, all of the sparks flying from your brain cells from here to there. And that's what conks you out. But the thing is, in sleep, your brain's actually really active. And that's where you get that quality REM sleep as well. So the sedation from the alcohol will sedate you instead of make you sleep well. So although you might be falling asleep quicker, you're not actually getting that good night's sleep. The next one is it really kind of fragments your sleep. So like you were saying, people often wake up during the night. And the reason that is it sparks your fight or flight response. So when we drink alcohol before sleeping, it puts your body into that fight or flight response. And we are much more sensitive to any sounds or anything that's happening around us that it can wake us up. And then also the other reason with the 2 a.m. is because that is when your liver is trying to work in overdrive to process any toxins that are left over. Now, the thing is, when we're drinking and it blocks that REM sleep, it's decreasing it, depending on how much we drink, by about 20%. 20% reduction in your REM sleep is just going to be so detrimental to your sleep quality in general, and then therefore how you're feeling the next day. And then when you have the bad quality sleep, it kind of puts you into that like wired and tired. So you've got the fight or flight response paired with the lack of sleep, and you're fidgety and anxious, but you're tired. So you've got that wired tired going on, which then, you know, leads you to make poor food decisions, which then puts you in a worse place to sleep the next night. So you get on that cycle.
Yeah. And I feel that, and I can attest to it because I wear the Aura ring. And I know that if there are times where I've been drinking, I definitely don't get my good quality REM, and deep sleep is highly affected. So my body is not going into recovery and repair mode like it should be, because it's just trying to process the alcohol, obviously.
Yeah. And on the recovery and repair, it also, drinking alcohol decreases your body's growth hormones. So that's also the recovery and repair of your bones and of your muscles. And then it also decreases your body's production of melatonin, which is, you know, our relaxation sleep hormone. And it really gets in the way of the, you know, with your sleep hormone, then your whole circadian rhythm, and throwing that out, which can then lead to, you know, the connection between your sleep and your mental health and your gut health, because when your circadian rhythm is off, that's when the gut starts to struggle as well. So it's definitely all connected, and can't kind of just look at one part without and ignoring the rest of it. But I believe across the board, it's not about restriction. I love to enjoy a drink. It's just about finding ways to do it better. I mean, I'm sure that you know about the blue zones, the areas of the world with the highest concentration of centenarians. And they did what they, a huge area of research was done there. And they wanted to know, you know, what is their secret? What do these places do that make these people grow to over 100 years? And not only are they old, but they're also living these vibrant, active, healthy lifestyles. And they came up with 9 things that they called the Power 9. And one of them was actually drinking. Every single one, other than one group, enjoy what they call wine at five. So they enjoy 1 to 2 drinks a day that is enjoyed with food and with friends.
Mm.
So there can be a benefit to this. It's just not doing it in excess.
Mm.
Ensure that we have the moderation. And when you look at the, you know, alcohol's effect on the gut, alcohol is a disinfectant. Like if you think about it, we use the alcohol wipes on our hands, especially right now. Everybody's doing all that to make sure there are no bugs.
Yeah.
And that's what it does. It kills off bugs. Now we think, okay, well, that sounds bad. But what can actually happen is if we're eating food, say you've eaten something and it's a tiny bit off and there's a bad bacteria in that food that may cause food poisoning, the right amount of alcohol, that 1 to 2 drinks, can actually protect your body from any of those bad pathogens getting into the body before getting any of the good bugs killed. Because we've got our good bugs and we've got our bad bugs living in them. But most of the good bugs are further down your intestinal system. So hopefully what happens is if we have those 1 to 2 drinks, it kills off the bad guys and doesn't affect the good guys. So it's kind of everything in moderation.
That's life's rule, isn't it? Really just looking at moderation. How do we stick to moderation? And I guess on that point about the blue zones, if anybody is unaware of what the blue zones is, it is a book and there's some resource material. There's a website. Anyway, we will connect all of that information in the show notes if you're interested in getting some more information, because not only does it talk about alcohol, but a huge range of healthy lifestyle choices that are happening in, is it 7 different continents or 7 different countries? Anyway, all of that detail will be in the show notes if you want to get some more info on that. But coming back to that point about then now looking at making these decisions, not overindulging, making the right choices, what are some of the ingredients when it comes to your conscious cocktails and looking at the beautiful things that you have in your book? What are some of the things that people might be currently having that they could swap out and substitute to get a more healthy version?
Yeah, I love that you say swap out and substitute, because that is what it's all about. I've never been one of those gluten-free, dairy-free, fun-free nutritionists. I'm not about deprivation. I'm all about nourishment and balance. I believe that we can all find a way to enjoy the things that we want to enjoy without feeling guilty about it, without kind of, you know, living life for a moment and then feeling sick about it the next day. So it's all about tweaking things so that we can enjoy them. And every time that we do make a more conscious choice, you kind of create trust with yourself and you create that momentum of healthy decisions. And that's how Conscious Cocktails came about. I was loving working with clients and they were seeing such great results from Monday to Friday. And then they would have a knockoff drink on Friday. So then they would order a burger. So then they'd have another cocktail and then they would start again on Monday. And it was this on the wagon, off the wagon mentality. And I just hated that. So I wanted to find a way to work around that. And the first idea I had was educating clients on the best food to have before, during and after. And that was good, but it didn't quite cut it. And then I had this huge aha moment where I was like, how have we not actually started to look at this physical drink yet? You know, we drink our green juices and we steam our veggies and we have our salmon and we do our yoga. Yet when it's time to drink an alcoholic beverage, it's like we pull the wool over our eyes.
Mm.
It's like we fall under a different rule. Well, the thing is, they don't. Yes, you are going to be having a shot of alcohol, but why then also have a bunch of crap with it that's going to make you feel worse?
Mm.
So Conscious Cocktails is all about tweaking that. So we'll take out the crap as the first step. So taking out any of the ingredients that aren't going to be serving us. And then the most important step is adding in things that are going to be great for us. Because if we just take out the crap, we're left with vodka lime sodas. And I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in spending my time drinking vodka lime sodas. So most cocktails we have when we go out have a simple syrup in them, which are going to be taking the sugars that are naturally found in alcohol and then making them about 3 or 4 times sweeter, which we don't want to do. So that's definitely the first ingredient that I say to cut out. All of the kind of bottled and processed juices, we definitely don't want those. And then being more conscious about our regulars that we go to. For example, a lot of people love their gin and tonics, without realizing that tonic is equally as sweet as like a Coke or a Sprite or something like that. So what I recommend doing is, if you love a gin and tonic, I'm not going to tell you not to have a gin and tonic, but how about you try having a gin with about half tonic and half soda water, and making sure that the tonic that you do have is a good, natural, great quality tonic. So it's never about completely cutting things out. It's just, what can we do that's going to make it that tiny bit better? I love the quote that is, you know, do what you can with what you have where you are, because it's not about being perfect. So that's a really easy twist for a gin and tonic. But some of the ingredients that I love using, one which is just kind of the easiest way to make at-home cocktails, is kombucha.
So beautiful.
Kombucha has been so popular recently, and there are some that are much better than others. There are some that are really still quite sweet. I personally love using Remedy kombucha because they have fermented it really well. They've got so many flavors, and there's no residual sugars left over. And you just use that with whatever your favorite spirit is. If you want to keep it super simple, then you can have a great mixer at home that's going to be just doing that little bit better for you.
Yeah. And I love adding in, so I am loving a gin and soda with a dash. So I'm at the point now where I've been able to get down to just a dash of tonic.
Yeah.
But I love adding things in like fresh ginger and rosemary or thyme and those beautiful ingredients that also have some medicinal purpose at some point as well.
Yeah, So rosemary is a great one, especially not only does it look great as a garnish, but rosemary, the aroma of rosemary helps to boost your liver function as well.
Ah, there you go.
So that's a great one to use. I love ginger. It fires up your digestion at the same time as soothing your stomach. So it has that great balance of not being too fiery on the gut, but also being protective, but getting things going and getting things moving. And it helps to circulate your blood flow as well, which also helps with detoxification. So they're two really, really fabulous ones to use. I mean, we already do a lot of this, like lemons and limes, citrus fruit, amazing. So many antioxidants. They're great to use. I believe one of the best things that we can do for our health is to eat within the seasons. Because foods that are in season are not only going to be better for the environment and better for the community, better for your wallet, but they're also better for your health, because if they're abundant in nature at the time of year where you're living, they're rich in the nutrients that your body needs at this time of year. Yeah. So we do at Springfield sometimes for our retreats, we do a conscious cocktail happy hour where I talk a little bit about conscious cocktails, and I make a recipe and I just make them on the fly every time. And how I start is I Google what is in season, New South Wales, and whatever the month is. And I'll see some of the amazing fresh fruit and veg, and I'll make a cocktail out of that. Like, we did an incredible one last week, which was, I went through and I know that right now all of the root vegetables are really in season.
Yeah.
And so I saw carrots and I was like, oh, how great. Like, let's make a beautiful cocktail with carrots, because all of the beautiful, bright orange vegetables are really high in beta carotene. And what happens is when we have beta carotene, it gets converted in your body to vitamin A, which is then really great for your vision, your skin, and your immunity. And right now we could all use a little bit of support with immunity. So I thought of that and I was like, great, let's make an immunity cocktail with carrots. So I just did some freshly juiced carrots, some organic carrots. And then I added in a little bit of ginger, a little bit of lemon juice, a little bit of turmeric, a bit of pepper, because I always love using pepper with turmeric as it enhances the bioavailability of curcumin by 2,000%.
Wow.
And curcumin is the part of turmeric that's really beneficial and great for reducing inflammation in the body and boosting your immune system. And then I just used, for the sweetener, I made a at-home syrup out of raw local honey.
Beautiful. And what did you mix that? What was the spirit that you had with that?
Oh, with gin.
With gin. Oh, beautiful.
Yeah, so it was just a beautiful gin cocktail, and it was a hit. It's delicious.
That sounds amazing. Well, maybe Shannon might send that through to us and we can add that in the show notes for a beautiful recipe.
Yeah, absolutely. And if one, you know, doesn't want to have the alcohol as well, there are so many great alternatives out there that have the alcohol-free spirits that are kind of based on a gin. So you have that flavor profile and the punchiness, but without the actual alcohol. I might have a big bottle of gin at home for making cocktails for people, but I've always got a little one of non-alcoholic. So if I have a friend coming over who's, you know, pregnant or not drinking, then you can still be involved and you can still have the social and taste benefit of enjoying a cocktail without the alcohol.
Absolutely. And I think that this is a great segue into one of the reasons why we're talking about alcohol and sleep right now is that we are coming into dry July. And so it is taking that opportunity after listening to everything that Shannon has shared that our bodies, you know, by taking a little bit of time out and indulging in something like dry July or Feb fast or just in your own time of taking a break from alcohol for a period of time can do wonders for your insides. And also if you are really struggling with sleep, it might be a nice opportunity to do a little detoxification, taking alcohol out just for a period of time. That might just be for a week, and really tracking how you feel, particularly around your sleep, when you are going to bed at nighttime, when you're waking up. Do you feel less anxious, less fidgety? Are you waking up with more energy and enthusiasm for your day? Because, you know, it might be playing a little bit more of a role in your poor sleep quality than what you ever imagined. And again, as we said in the beginning, we're not suggesting that you can't ever drink, you can't not drink alcohol again. But really taking an understanding into what it is doing in your body and how you can make some changes.
Yeah, definitely. It's just about being that little bit more conscious. And every time that we do that, and every time we kind of have those little internal wins, you feel better. You feel more encouraged to then go for a walk or do whatever your other health goals are at the moment. And I think that often we rely on alcohol, like a lot of people rely on that nightcap drink to fall asleep, and they think I can't actually fall asleep without it. And there could be the little bit of the sedative effect that's happening, but the majority of it is just the ritual and it's just the routine of it. We feel like we do it and we don't actually know why, but we think that we need to. Well, I would encourage as well people to take it some time off, see how they feel, if they could re-regulate that. Like I personally just did the same thing with chocolate. Finding after every meal I wanted to have some chocolate, and I was like, I need to have that little bit of sweetness after a meal. And you go a week without it, the first couple of days you're like, oh my god, this is the worst, but then it all regulates again. So we can kind of change our habits and our needs if we can just take some time off. So I don't believe in ever feeling like we need something.
Absolutely. So we're not suggesting that you deprive yourself, but just making some suggestions around giving it a try, tracking it to see if you notice a difference, and then looking at how you reintroduce it back into your daily routine or your weekly or your monthly, however that looks like. But if you are thinking about doing this, as Shannon said, there's some beautiful mocktails, there's some non-alcoholic beverages. So if you're thinking, oh, I don't know if I can do that, that might be a great place to start in terms of weaning yourself off your habit of, you know, what you might feel like you need, and then putting that into place.
Yeah, there's also some great non-alcoholic wines out there. My girlfriends and I love drinking this one type of wine, which I think is called Tread Softly, and they're great business. They also like plant native trees for every 12 bottles that are purchased. Wow. We love drinking them if we're going to be having a dinner party where we will be having a couple of wines. We love having that because you have the social element of, you know, topping people up and not really noticing how many drinks you've had, but then you're not having as much alcohol. So it's just do what you can, do anything, do any little thing that's going to make it better. Like if you are going to have a drink, try and leave some time between having a drink and going to bed, or making sure that if you do have a drink, double the amount of water that you would have had before going to bed. Just do anything.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Shannon. It's been so great to have you on the show today. And I think that there's some great takeouts here for people to consider, particularly if they haven't thought about the role that alcohol might play with sleep. It's a great place to start. And as we said, if you are thinking about some ideas, then Shannon's Conscious Cocktails book there will be a link in the show notes. Also, we'll link the Blue Zones, and we will also link Springfield Farm. So if you are thinking about taking a break, there are some beautiful retreats that are held at Springfield Farm all throughout the year, and we would highly recommend it. So thank you so much for joining us. And where people can find you on Instagram, definitely.
Yeah. Find me on Instagram at Living with Rosie or at Life at Springfield, which will be the retreat page. And then feel free to reach out if you want to keep the conversation going or you have any questions about what we discussed here today. Just shoot me a DM and I would be happy to chat with you all.
Beautiful. Thanks, Shannon. I hope the next retreat goes really well.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Goodnight Show. If you're keen to learn more about our guests or any of the topics we've spoken about today, hop on over to the Goodnight Co. closed Facebook community group or check us out at thegoodnightco.com.au. And if you're enjoying the show, please subscribe to us on your favorite podcast provider by searching The Goodnight Show. And if you love what you're hearing, don't forget to leave us a glowing review. Thanks, everyone.